bunch of crap.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
If you had 30 seconds to talk to Kyle, what would you say to him right now? Dibs says Jordan Mason on the field. I kind of say, like, get Pearsall more involved. Like, empty it out. You got to get more speed going out there. So maybe lean on, and I think that actually there's a common thread to what we're saying, which is, hey, like, you got to lean on the younger guys even more.
Yeah,
and I get it. I get it. Championship level teams, and I will say that about the Niners. I know they haven't got a ring, but like true contenders for an extended period of time, they lean on veterans.
Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock.
Sure, exactly, you know, right.
Another guy who famously, according to some, does not like the young people. Although you look at last year and this year, sure feels like he's playing a lot of youngsters, but that's neither here nor there. I do think the Niners need to become more dynamic offensively. And you need to change it up, because I see a lot of defenses who are no longer distracted by the eye candy, the pre-snap motion, the shifting. It doesn't seem to me, with my amateur eye, to be causing that much consternation from defensive coordinators.
A couple of quick asides, just a development that's just coming across. The New York Jets have fired general manager Joe Douglas after six seasons. Boy. The wake of this guy, Aaron Rodgers, is rather large. My God. They put everything into this guy so much that everybody but him are losing their jobs. And then this, real quick aside, and then we'll get back to your calls. If you had 30 seconds to talk to Kyle Shanahan, what would you say? I just saw this on NBC Sports Bay Area. MLB Anonymous executives were polled about the landing spot for certain free agents. Blake Snell, Red Sox 1 vote, Mets 1 vote, Reds 1 vote, Blue Jays 2 votes, Phillies 4 votes, 7 votes Giants.
Oh, wow, okay.
MLB executives believe that he will stay with the Gigante.
Yeah, I wonder about that. And I also am curious as to how the organization views his I'm good skip start at the end of the year, because I know how I view it. I view it as a guy who didn't want to take the ball and, you know, be a part of a game that at that point didn't really matter. Yeah,
it's kind of like skipping a bowl game to me. It's kind of like skipping a bowl game.
Different, because you're paid in full, and you're paid $1 million to do that very thing.
But money is the reasoning behind those decisions.
Yes, but Christian McCaffrey skipping a bowl game because he doesn't want to go full Frank Gore, who got hurt in a bowl game. I get that. I don't really get this, where you can't take the ball just because you and your agent are dead set on opting out.
Yeah.
That to me is not, you know, so somebody else has to take the ball. Somebody else who maybe they're making $180,000 a year, and now I have to risk my possible career because you won't take the ball? It just rubs me wrong.
Well, those players are under team control for 87 more years anyway.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
All right, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Chris in San Jose. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen?
Hey
Mark, before I get into it, I want your permission.
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying it. I'm just quoting analysts, pundits, people who don't really matter. Am I allowed to use the word genius when referring to Kyle Shanahan in what I would say to him?
You are absolutely allowed to use it. My thing is everybody else isn't allowed to be offended by that, as if the word has been emblazoned on the back of his neck like a tattoo, and that the whole world calls him a genius. That's what I reject. If you'd like to use it, knock yourself out.
Understood. Beautiful. Marky Mark, we're on the same page.
Come on, Chris.
Here's what I would say to Kyle. Kyle, half of the world out there wants to label you as a genius, one of the ahead of the game, one of the best play callers in all of NFL history. The other contingency of people are calling you vanilla, predictable. So, Kyle, it's time to put up or shut up. Everything that you said earlier, guys, Dibbers, you got to pull whatever's in that bag, a cat, a dog, a bunny, whatever's in that bag, I need him to pull everything out of that bag, all right? No more excuses, no more, you know, we're down, guys. Listen, you have the lead at the end of the first half, and you consistently lose leads. It's not you, quote-unquote, Bo in the game. I know it's not all you, but it's time to put up or shut up. Put your foot on Green Bay's neck if and when you have a lead this weekend. No more excuses, buddy. I'm tired of it, okay? And like Dibber said, put Mason in the damn game. They, you know, Kyle said, oh, we used Mason a fair amount last year. Guess what, Kyle? He averaged under 3 touches a game. What are you talking about? This exact usage of CMC is why he got hurt in the first place. So it's time to wake up, be a motivator of men, which I know you're not, Kyle, but it's time to motivate these boys. Go put your throat on somebody's neck and save the season. Gentlemen, you have a good day. Take it away.
Thank you, Chris.
That was a little bit more than 30, but I like okay. it.
Yeah,
he brought it home.
He bit a kneecap.
Yeah.
Is what he did.
He's saying we need more dogs.
Yeah. The Niners are dogs.
Yeah.
For the first time. We're going to bite a kneecap off.
Thank you, Dan.
First time in 30 games.
Now, that's a motivator of men, but I also like the Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't motivate the guys narrative. What do you think about that?
I don't think that these guys need to be motivated. And if you need to be motivated as a pro football player, then you're in the wrong profession. I don't believe that the notion of, and what I'm hearing him say, and a lot of people is, you know, we need a Robert Saleh,
yeah,
somebody who's going to run the field.
We need
Sean McVay, somebody who's going to flex and run in the end zone and jump up and down with the team. Well, that might work for some team and some players, and it might also not work for those same guys. When you have a room full of 53 men, all 53 of them need to be motivated in different ways. And really, I think NFL teams are motivated by Debo and Trent and a boombox and a huddle. You know, in the tunnel, a tunnel huddle, and it's like, all right, you guys ready?
I'm with you.
And it's the linebacker group when they get together, and Fred's going crazy. Well, we're going to point at this guy. We're going to point at that guy.
I'd also argue this. First of all, I think half the Eagles think that Sirianni, for example, is a doofus, and he's a rah-rah guy. I would say this. Don't mistake the lack of rah-rah for a lack of motivation. Like, in other words, there's many ways to motivate people. I think you're motivated if you're a football player, by the opportunity to win. I think you're motivated by an executive staff that you feel is straight with you. And so everything that I've ever been told by anyone who's played for Kyle or around Kyle is that the group is very motivated because they feel like they are a part of a system and a group that works and that they're not being given the runaround. You know, you can look around the league and you can see who sort of has their sideline together and who doesn't. And I know that a bunch of holding penalties and false starts will make it look like it's a bleep show, but that's sort of different. That's undisciplined, and yes, that's on Kyle, but I don't think that speaks to disarray in the locker room. The Jets, the Raiders, teams like this around the league, the New York Giants right now, that's where you're like, dude, we're in disarray. And we've got discord at the top, and nobody knows what's what and who's where and all this stuff. The Niners are not one of those teams. I don't think motivation is the issue with this
group. I don't either. It's execution, and I also think that it's scheme. And he's done it one way for a long time, and I look at the way they've been doing it of late, and it hasn't been working. And you have to look at what are those reasons. Maybe it's McCaffrey's not quite 100% and ready to dominate, and Debo is a step slow, and he's not a true receiver, and Ricky's a rookie, and you didn't have George. And whatever the reasons are, you've got 5 days now to figure this out, going to Green Bay, where you mentioned it, you are an underdog for the first time in 30 games, and Green Bay's a team that can score. So this one doesn't feel like one you can win 17-16. This one feels more like, even if you get to that 24-point barrier, you might need more.
You might. I mean, they just won a game 20-19 over the weekend. Like, Jordan Love will also, he'll throw you a pick now.
Every time.
He'll throw you a pick.
Almost every game.
He did it in the playoffs a couple of times, and what's the number this year? He's up toward the top of the league. He's double-digit interceptions, right?
Yep. Only Tennessee, Carolina, and Indy have thrown more picks than the Packers.
And remember, Jordan has missed like 3 games. He'd thrown a lot of picks.
Yeah, they have 11 as a team. So
I think he's got most of them. I honestly do.
Yeah, if you give me just a second, he's got all of
them. Dial it up.
He's got all of them.
He's got all of them.
And Malik has zero.
How many games has he played? 7?
8.
He's played 8 games. Yep. He's thrown how many picks?
Just 11.
That's a lot of picks.
In modern football,
That's a lot of picks.
His 11 picks lead the NFL.
Okay. Quentin in Charlotte. Hi, Quentin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
if I could speak to Shanahan, I would say, you remember Wendell Tyler and Roger Craig back in the day?
Sure.
Yeah, I think they should use Mason and McCaffrey in the same like manner. It'll open up a whole lot of stuff, and I'm curious to see how that would work. And you're sitting on a lot of talent. You don't sit on talent. Find a way to put them in and put them both in, and it would elongate each one of their careers.
Quentin, thanks. A lot of people are on this right now, and I am not in disagreement at all. I do wonder, though, this whole idea, I don't think it's a fire and ice situation. In other words, I don't think that this should be an even 50-50 split. Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey, and his unique skill set and what he does to a defense in terms of what they need to think about in guard, I think does need to be on the field the majority of the time. But I'm with you that, A, they could share the field sometimes. And I also, when Jordan goes in, you'd love to see him get, like, let him stay in there for a little bit and even do what the Lions do. How about a full series where Christian is just the third down back because he can come in and catch a pass? But let Jordan have first and second down for a whole series, once a half. You know, something like that I could see.
Or even more than once a half. And you see a lot of it. You and I were talking about the Commanders off the air before the show, and Detroit's a great example where they almost never are on the field together. It's Gibbs, you get the next 10, and then Montgomery, and they both do well.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Bay Area Oil Change. .com. If you had 30 seconds with Kyle, what would you say to him? 888-957-9570. Also, Kyle Shanahan and the Niners became a huge topic on the Pat McAfee show today. You will want to hear what was said. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Wookie, my old friend who, this was his song. Wookie, rest in peace. Every time I hear, I'm sorry, Mama, Eminem, I'm cleaning out my closet.
You didn't need
Reminds
to
me of Wook. You for the audience.
I know. You said that to me as if I like.
No, you're like, down. You're more you're like, down
I'm,
than
I'm staring at a white guy who doesn't know that I'm giving Eminem lyrics out right now.
I've told you for the past 3 years that you continue to go up, stock up for your hip hop and R&B knowledge. And I say this every time, man, you continue to surprise me. And you say, when is that going to end? I think it's over. I've reached the point where I expect you to be great.
No, it's okay because I'm still mad.
R&B or bust.
But I'm still mad. I'm still mad at myself for when Shasky was cruising around the office with his phone, going, "Hey, what did Master P make him say?"
Oh yeah,
I'm still ticked at myself for. I was like, "No,
how are you?"
Yeah, I'm picking Jake Paul. Like what? What? I don't know. What are you? What are you saying?
Great question.
And then I'm like, oh, like the whole thing just flew over my head.
Yeah, it was a trap.
He just like jumped on us. People should know that about your response, which was the correct response on that video. We were not like given any warning.
Yeah,
he wasn't like, "Hey, am I asking?" Like it was just, "Hey," and the phone was on. What does Master P make him say? I'm like, what are you talking about right now?
Makes him say sorry after he offends somebody?
What do you want to make me say? It flew over my head. Anyway,
it was a funny bit.
Anyway, it was very funny. All right, we'll go back to the phones in a second. However, I do have this quick aside to pass along.
Okay. You said it during the break. You teased it. It was an in-house tease, and I was like, ooh.
This is...
spicy.
This is not good.
No?
Well, I mean, it's not like serious, but... If you're a fan of Trey Lance, I would argue this is the worst thing that anyone in football has ever said about Trey Lance.
Whoa.
Okay, because, again, peep the tone and the word choice here. You and I just had a conversation a half hour ago, and I still believe this. Why did you give up a fourth-round draft pick for this guy if you weren't going to play him in this scenario? You stink. Your season's over. Cooper Rush is not a thing. So, like... Mess around and find out.
Look at you. See, and, again.
And.
Again, surprises me.
And. But think like a GM. What's the worst thing that could happen? I'd argue it's the best thing that could happen. Lose all your games. Dog, get a pick. Jerry?
Well.
Jera?
The math is there.
The math is not there.
The math is, but I'm not going to ever mention that again. They're only five back with terrible. Seven to go.
They're terrible and they're done and they're dust. Okay?
Oh, 0-5 at home.
So McCarthy last night said that out loud. He said this in the postgame presser that he regretted not giving Trey Lance a few plays at the end of a 24-point loss. All right? So then, of course, everybody does what they do in the Dallas media, which is, thanks, Mike. We're going to run over to the owner and talk to him. And then the idiot has his 87th press conference of the day. And someone said, hey, what about Trey Lance starting? Jera, listen to this. Quote, I don't know about that. I want to give our team the very best chance it can in all phases to be successful. So we're going to go here with the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win the game. I mean...
And that's Cooper Rush?
Dude.
I mean, I watched Trey Lance and I went, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Jera, how about Trey? Quote, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he treated it as if, well, that's just a wild concept in this scenario. What?
It is a wild concept, but it is.
Cooper Rush?
If you divorce yourself from the idea that they traded a fourth round pick for Trey Lance, then just looking at Trey Lance and what we've seen, yeah, Trey Lance is probably not going to come in and set the world on fire and lead you to multiple victories, but you did trade a fourth round pick to have a look at him. And if you want to really have a look at him, have a look at him in a game.
Yeah, I would, again, but I'd also argue like you're shooting yourself in the foot. Like, Dallas, you are 3-7. Is it lost on you that the right thing to do right now is to lose? Like, is that lost on you? What a perfect setup for a lost season. That's exactly what you want. You want to be able to pitch to your fans, oh, we're doing something for the organization, and lose at the same time. It's perfect. If you actually think that about Trey, you should play him even more. You should announce him right now as the starter for the rest of the year. And just tell your fans, yeah, we need to get a look. We got to get a look at this guy. I mean, that, to me, in this scenario and that tone from Jerry Jones, I hope that every 49er fan that still thinks Kyle Shanahan was unfair to Trey, just listen to this. They won't even let him on the field for a 3-7 team that's right down to their second bad quarterback. They won't even let him on the field. So... please divorce yourself from the idea that somebody was trying to hold Trey down. This guy clearly is making a mockery of practice. I can't figure out anything else.
Right, and like you're saying, if you really want to look at this year as a positive, the only positive is to wind up 3-14. There are five teams right now with fewer wins than you, and a few other ones that have a worse record than you. The Jets and the Patriots have 3 wins but 8 losses. So right now, you'd be picking 9th. Which is not quite no man's land, but you'd rather pick 3rd or 4th.
Hell yeah.
So go out there and play the quarterback who's not ready and see what you have with your 4th round pick that you traded away.
Yep.
Makes too much sense.
And Dallas is in Washington next week. They still play Cincy. They still got to go to Philly. They got to play Washington again. Like, they've got a hard schedule, and they may not win more than 2 games the rest of the way. So, like... anyway.
Second to worst point differential in the NFC, only ahead of Carolina.
Damn.
And yet, if you look at the odds they're on the bad. Next coach to be fired, Mike McCarthy is the 4th choice on the board.
That's crazy.
Jerry doesn't do that.
That's
one
true.
Thing about Jerry.
That's true. He'll wait till the year's over.
Doug Peterson minus 150.
Well, Doug Peterson, it was announced, oddly, before the game last week. He's going to get fired if he doesn't beat Detroit. And I was like, well, you might as well just... that, well, then he's fired.
Right.
They're not beating Detroit. Then they go out and lose by 46 points, and he's still here.
Still here. As of now, as of press time.
Like, okay.
The Flus is plus 125 in Chicago, Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
And then the surprise candidate, but it's been kind of underwhelming. Zach Taylor.
Oh, since
plus 200, 2-1.
Sure.
I mean, how long can you underachieve with that unbelievable amount of weaponry.
And they franchise tag T. Higgins, and the thought was, come on, man, we got to go for it this year. They're 4-7.
Yep.
I mean, they're a solid team. I mean, they have a positive point differential.
Right. It's because their offense is awesome.
Yeah, their offense is great, but oof. Yeah, so that one I get. All right, if you had 30 seconds with Kyle Shanahan, what would you say to him? Shane in the city. Hi, Shane. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? All right, 30 seconds with Kyle. As my 2-year-old daughter would say, timey, ready, set, dough. Be more dynamic. Be creative. Stop handing the ball off to Deebo Samuel. CMC looks slow because he has like one Achilles tendon between the two of them. Deebo looks a little slow. Give Jordan Mason the ball. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's fun to watch. My 2-year-old daughter is a big Jordan Mason fan. I love watching him play. And I mean, I've never been a big fire Kyle guy or anything like that. I just where's the dynamic creativity? Like, where I watched Kyle blow the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Like, I was a Patriots fan back then, and I still am, but I'm a Niners fan now. Shout out Janice, my wife, but San Francisco. But like, I mean, give Jordan Mason the ball, man. Come on.
Shane, you're a good family man. In a 1-minute call, you referenced your wife and your 2-year-old daughter twice.
Impressive.
So yeah, yeah. Good. Like, good on you. The Jordan Mason love is really fascinating today. I get it. He did some great things this year with his opportunity, and he got people going and everything. But when Christian was not quite back yet, and maybe he was hurt, he sort of looked like he was running out of gas. Plus, let's not forget, we've been screaming and yelling about red zone issues all year long, and Jordan was a big... I would argue part of the problem.
Oh, yeah. He was on the field.
He was on the field. He was unable to do between the 20s, inside the 20, you know, and he had like multiple turnovers in the red zone this year.
Big fumble, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not against Jordan getting more time. I am against anybody who says Jordan Mason should kind of go back to some sort of a lead role. I think it should be more than 3 snaps or whatever he got.
Yep, 2.
But I'm still all in favor of Christian McCaffrey getting north of 15 touches in every football game. Sure. I want to make that clear.
No, and I'm with you on that. I want to be clear about that. But if you look at any game, and let's just look at this past game against Seattle, and you want to talk about touches, where Brock Purdy completed 21 passes, and you had 27 rushes. So that's 48 touches, and take out Brock Purdy's 5 carries, so now you're down to 43 touches, where 21 times somebody caught the ball, and then 22 times somebody ran the ball. And of that 43 or so touches that you had, McCaffrey had 23 of them. So he had more than half of the overall touches. Can he get 20 of those, and Mason can get 7 to 10 instead of just 2? And I do agree with the caller about Deebo running the ball, and Grandy had the great quote and the stat in the thread. He's one of 3 running backs or ball carriers to have more than 25 carries and less than 3 yards a carry. Stop running the ball to Deebo Samuel. Yep. It's not working. He's either slow or it's been solved. Whatever it is, knock it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I don't think you just abandon it for the rest of your life. It's been a great weapon for you, but it does seem like you'd be silly at this point to not start trying some other things. When things aren't working, you got to try something else. And right now it's not working, and you've reached try something else time, because you can't have it not work again going into this weekend against Green Bay. All right, we'll keep going with the calls, but I promised you this. Pat McAfee Show, the subject came up today with regard to the way social media and 49er fans are reacting right now to Kyle Shanahan. So listen to what this group had to say about that.
I'm seeing a lot of Shanahan slander now.
A lot of
which I didn't.
NFL's figured out his offense slander.
Really?
And people are not happy with
slow down.
There's no good head coaches, dude. Like, Niners fans do this every year. I don't think you know how good you have it with Shanahan.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a good point, because if your team doesn't win, we need to blame somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the head coach is we would assume, in charge of strategy and over there, play call, offense, idea, roster construction. You know, it's a lot over there with Shanahan on board. So if they don't win, I guess it does fall at his feet, and John Lynch as well.
Yeah. Now, that part at the end, I don't think anybody disagrees with. That's sort of how it works, and that's why I've said this week what I've said, which is I don't think anything that happened this year robs Kyle Shanahan of being a great coach. He's a great coach who's not having a great year. He's having a rough year. So you can put a lot at his feet this year, but I don't let that take away all of the other stuff. And what do you think about the statement that was made in there by one of the hosts on the show? 49er fans don't know how good they've got it.
Well, you start to take anything for granted, and the old Joni Mitchell line, you don't know what you got till it's gone, I think is pertinent here, and 49er fans need to take a step back and remember exactly where you were before with Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula. And, you know, Chip Kelly was brought in where he was going to be the flavor of the month, and they went 2-14, and they probably, their record was better than they actually were. That team was absolutely terrible. Bad roster, bad culture, bad everything. So I do have an appreciation. Doesn't mean you're not allowed to be critical.
Of course not. Of course not. I was chuckling because when you said that song line, I'm pretty sure Grandy started singing it. You started bobbing your head in there.
Pay paradise.
And put up a parking lot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's an old soul.
Don't it always seem to go, and you don't know what you got till it's gone. Yeah, exactly. Good job, Grandy.
And you pave paradise and put up a parking lot, and in this analogy, it would be you fire Kyle, and your parking lot is fill-in-the-blank coach who's not as good as Kyle.
Oh, Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Because he is a can't-miss coaching prospect.
He's an offensive genius, Mark.
You know, just like Brian Daboll was 2 seconds ago before he went to the New York Giants and got a big bag of crap in his hand in the name of a $40 million quarterback who's worth $10.
Tommy DeVito gets the start this weekend.
He does.
Tommy!
Yes,
he...
And he's also an offensive coordinator who blew a big lead in a big playoff game. Am I right?
Yeah. That's what I remember.
15 seconds.
Blame the coordinator.
That's right.
Okay.
And somebody earlier I was talking about, where's the Dan Quinn hate? It might have been Evan.
It was Evan. I heard that.
And he's so right.
Of course.
And I also want to say this every time somebody calls in with 28-3. It was not 28-3 when they got the ball back.
As
it was 28-9.
Of course, as far as Kyle's concerned.
So if you
want to
blame Kyle for a blown lead, if that's how you roll, be fair. Because when they got the rock back, it was 28-9. So the lead that he blew was 28-9.
It's fair. I also I hate it when people, I'm actually bummed that Evan brought up Dan Quinn today. Because my favorite thing to do is when people blame Kyle Shanahan for that Super Bowl loss, I asked them, who was the head coach in
game? Yep.
They don't even know.
No.
Nobody even knows who the head coach is.
Yeah.
So.
And Kyle gets blamed here, and I wonder if Dan Quinn in Washington, when they have a bad game, if their callers are like, he blew that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
I don't blame Kyle for the two Super Bowl losses here in San Francisco. I blame Mike McDaniel. Was he even on the staff for either of those? I'm looking for somebody else who was Kyle's assistant on those two losses to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That idiot.
DeMeco Ryans for not teaching Nick Bosa to avoid being held.
Right, but that's defense. That's defense. Actually, I guess it works. Yeah, let's go to the other side of the ball.
Sure.
Okay. So there you go, Steve Wilks fans. Your fault. Just because.
I can honestly say I should be blamed for this.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Julie in Concord.
Grandy's squinting trying to find it. You're getting old,
so
Grandy.
Many drops.
Come on.
Where the hell
yeah,
is
you
it?
Need readers? I got readers in here, man.
28.
You want some readers?
Go to Julie. Oh, wait.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
All right, there we go. All
thanks
right, Julie. Julie,
good.
What's going on?
Well, so I think that Kyle Shanahan is partially to blame because he's getting repetitive in his calls. And so the opposing team can see what the next call is going to be. So they already have, you know, who they're going after. We were using Ricky Pearsall as a great, you know, catcher. And then all of a sudden last game, he was where to be found. So Kyle was going, you know, McCaffrey. So he needs to go back to Mason, McCaffrey, Pearsall, McCaffrey, whatever. Mix it up. don't let the other team see every single play you're going to be going with. But also, some of them were reacting so slow that you could see exactly where Brock was going to be throwing the ball.
Well, Julie, thank you very much. The only thing I would say on that, for me, that sort of breakdown is a little bit too focused on rearview mirror looking. In other words, I don't think the ball always goes to who they drew it up to go to. You know what I mean? Like, some, I know we joke that Kyle Shanahan's got like a joystick in his hands. That's not actually what's happening. You know, like, just because the ball got thrown to Juwan doesn't mean it was supposed to go to Juwan or whatever. On pass plays, especially Brock this year, with all the running around he's done, you drop back and then who knows what the hell's going to happen. And part of that is not okay because the offensive line has not had a great year. And there is too many hot routes and running around and freaking out and ad-libbing and all of this stuff. I'd like to see a lot less of that. The concept of what you all are saying, I agree with. I would love to see more sort of in the way of a substitution pattern where guys are coming in fresh, you're keeping people on their toes. You know who y'all should watch, and we're going to get a look at it here in a week and a half? Watch the way Buffalo moves their people in and out. Take it from someone who's got a couple of those players on their fantasy team. Right. It's actually frustrating. Like, why is James Cook, who's having an amazing year, not in there? Why is he not in there? Well, it's third down. Okay, now it's first down. Who is Ty Williams? Why is Ray Davis playing? Why did you trade for Amari Cooper and he's sitting on the sideline watching Khalil Shakir and Mac Hollins run routes? But that's the way Buffalo does it, because they go, hey, we got Josh Allen. In and out, in and out, in and out. Keep the defense guessing. Keep them on the toes. I think that a little bit of that could get blended into what Kyle's doing. Sure.
And that, when Kyle's in his bag, as we like to say, that's what he does. When it's normally Ayuk and Debo and George Kittle and it's McCaffrey and Juszczyk, well, then you can do so many different things with your huddle. So when you break the huddle, the defense doesn't know what you're doing and where you're going. In this past game against Seattle, when you've got Saubert in the huddle, you're thinking, either he's going to pass block or run block, or we can ignore him. McCaffrey's probably getting the ball. If Debo goes in motion, they're going to hand it to him. So let's cover Ricky. Let's ignore Eric. Juszczyk's not going very far, so we can kind of keep a half an eye on him. Next thing you know, you can key on Christian, and you can worry about Debo a little bit, and then Juwan was able to get free and have a big game. But if you don't have your five best eligibles, put one of your better skill guys out there at least more than two snaps.
I wish, and we can go back 3 weeks and have this conversation again. I wonder if you've changed your opinion. I bet you haven't. But looking at the way the offense since the bye looks now, do you wish that they had gotten a receiver at the trade deadline?
Well, if I would have known that George Kittle was going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And I mean,
that's only one of the games, though.
Honestly, my answer would, it should be yes, but it's still going to be no. Okay. Because I look at what they have, and even against Seattle, and I was running through the snap counts, and Juszczyk's snaps were down, which told me that you were playing with a lot of three receiver sets, and it was Juwan, and it was Ricky Pearsall, and it was Debo.
Sure.
So are those three good enough to, like, be good enough as a three-receiver set? They should be.
They should be. I don't want to stunt the growth of Ricky Pearsall. I want him on the field. But at the same time, if it's going to look like that, where he only gets two targets in an entire game,
37 snaps.
If you're going to do that, then yeah, Deontay Johnson or Mike Williams would have looked real, real nice.
Yeah.
Real nice.
Debo with 55 snaps, and he had 7 targets and 4 catches. Juwan Jennings played 95% of the snaps, Damn. And he got the lion's share of it.
That's the guy.
Beyond that, McCaffrey played 59 of 63 snaps. You had 2 Mason and 2 Garendo. Those were, hey, Christian, you want a sip of water? And so he runs off the field for a minute, gets 2 gulps, and then he's back in.
Yeah, Jordan's snaps were back-to-back.
Yeah,
and
he
it
rushed
was
hand twice.
Off, hand off, and
exactly.
Then go sit back down.
And I believe he went for 8 and 5 on those.
Yep.
And he looked forceful.
He looked good.
A little burst, and then that was it. So, and I know it's not strictly a Kyle Shanahan decision. Bobby Turner, the running backs coach, is the one who does the substituting. But I look at this game against Green Bay, and I would love to see the two of them on the field more often.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. 888-957-9570. is the number. Dell, Ed, Miles, we're coming. If you had 30 seconds with Kyle Shanahan, what would you say right now with regard to what you want to see coming up in this game against Green Bay? Also, Doc Pandia joins us in less than 20 minutes. We'll get into Christian and Steph Curry and much more. And then in an hour and 20 minutes, one of our favorite stretches of time all week long, as Steve Kerr will make his weekly visit. And there's a lot to discuss after what happened against Memphis postgame last week, combined with what happened last night with the free throws and the turnovers in the three-point loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. Okay, so all that's coming up. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, not Kelly Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
That was a great moment in the history of this show.
That's singing.
It was. Yep. It was also the same day that Steve Young, before the Niners season has even started, looked us both in the eye and went, guys, last year was the year.
Right. And I wasn't trying to hear that. I went full ostrich mode, head in the sand.
Yeah, like that was their chance.
I believe I stood up in the moment and said, you're wrong. Young, you're wrong.
I know. And then he left and he's never come back on the show again. No.
I believe in the moment I sat there and looked at you.
No, he'll come on.
And then looked at Steve and it was like, man, if that's true.
Steve, did we lose you?
Steve, did they lose him? I mean, how can that be? And then here we are 10 weeks into a season, and they're 5-5. And
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Yeah, that's coming up at 5.
Yep, he sure is. Doc Pandy in a little bit, too. And there's a lot to get to with whether it's Christian, Dre Greenlaw, Steph Curry, you know, whatever the hell is going on with Kevon Looney, all that. And once again, as is the case 2 to 3 times a week, we have just received some very, very interesting Draymond Green audio.
Okay, I'm here for it. That's my guy.
Not only will we play that for you in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to play it straight for Steve. Okay? And then you'll say, Steve, did we lose you? And he'll say, no, I'm here. And then
no, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you will. And
I thought the audio might have been from last night in the post game where he basically said, I was terrible with the turnovers.
Oh, Draymond?
Yes.
Yeah, no, not that part.
Okay.
We got other stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Some fresh Draymond.
We got
all right.
Fresh Dray.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 888-957-9570 is the number. 30 seconds with you and Kyle Shanahan. What do you want to say to the man as you get ready for Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin? All right? Dell in the city. With Willard and Dibs. Hi, Dell. What are you doing?
Yo. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Thanks. What's up?
Taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say to Kyle that the whole time, I think he's like a puppeteer. So somebody else is telling him how to play the game. Or, you know, defense, offense. He's a genius offense. But it looks like somebody is telling him how to do it as well. So I want to know if that's real or not, make something happen for the special team we got and mix it up. Let's see what you got.
Dell, thanks. I'm not sure if I'm 100% clear on the question. Is he saying that it seems sort of robotic, like someone's telling him what to do?
Yeah, and Dell is saying mix it up. Let's mix it up and let's try and do something else.
I mean, that's what they're trying to do. You know what I mean? Like if I put it this way, this is, and I know no one's going to want to hear this. Someone called earlier and said, actually, it was GPD. He asked, like, does Kyle or does someone with the Niners listen to y'all's shows and you know, try to take something from getting an idea of what people are thinking out there or maybe try some new things. If I were Kyle Shanahan and I listened to this show every day, I would want to punch my own eyes out by the time I got home every time.
What do you mean? I'd have my notepad and my pen out.
And, because what you're all saying for him to do And I know no one wants to hear this because we're all men and we're adults and we're tough. He's trying. Like, if someone went up to Kyle right now, if I were Kyle and you walked up to me and went, mix it up, pal.
Yep.
Do you think Kyle is literally like, I am anti-mixing it up? What I am trying to do is the same thing on every play. And I am just, that's all. Because it worked once, so I'm going to do it every time for the rest of my life and bang my head against the wall until that play works. I think he thinks he is mixing it up.
Well, I'll push back on that. Okay. Because for me, mixing it up is a number of different things. One, against Seattle, he did mix it up a little bit in that he used a sixth offensive lineman 12 times. And he did that because he couldn't run a two tight end set because he doesn't believe in Jake Tongis or Braden Willis to go in there and actually play a snap. So he was still trying to go big and jumbo, so he used a sixth offensive lineman, Jalen Moore. That, to me, is mixing it up a little. What really is mixing it up for me is you go four wide receivers, you go hurry up, you go no huddle, you mix up the tempo, you mix up the personnel groupings instead of, you know, here we are under center. It's a run to McCaffrey. Bibbly bobble, 3 yards, 4 yards.
I know, but I
now
love
let's throw it.
Like, look how quickly.
What?
Granted, because results, and they haven't been
right
there.
Process and results, well, me and you.
Like, this is, I just want to make sure that we're checking ourselves every now and again. It has not been a great year for Kyle, but look how quickly we got bored with a Christian McCaffrey run. I'm old enough to remember 2 weeks ago when everybody thought this was going to save the season. I'm old enough to remember last year when he won Offensive Player of the Year. I'm old enough to remember last year when they were number one in red zone efficiency. And I'm old enough to remember when Christian McCaffrey was drafted number one in every single fantasy draft because he was incredible both out of the backfield and in the passing game.
It's a lot of history in what you remember.
But there's no credible reason, at least in this moment where he's only played two games, there was no credible reason at that time to think, well, like, I tell you what we don't want to do. We don't want to run Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield because that'll bore everybody and it won't work. Like, I get that it hasn't been great, and so I am all in favor right now of maybe shaking it up and trying some new things. But 2 weeks ago, we all thought this was it. This is all we needed. Christian's back, and the Niners are going to be okay. Now we don't want him running the ball anymore?
We do want him running the ball, but we also want to have an understanding of what exactly this is. And the credible reason for not giving him this many touches is the fact that this is his preseason. And that is something that might be lost on Kyle. I don't know what they're talking about behind closed doors, but when you look at Ayuk and his slow start, Trent, who needed oxygen every time off the field and his camp-missing slow start, it's right to look at a player and think, you know what? It might take you a couple of games. That's so here's an idea. Let's not give you more than 50% of the touches on our team because he's not playing as well. He's not running as well. It's the O-line. It's the play calls. It's the fact that he missed camp. Whatever it is you want to look at as a reason or an excuse, however you look at it, the reality is a player coming off a three-month, actually, his absence was 9 months. He didn't play a football game since the Super Bowl, and now we're expecting him to go 22 touches and be amazeballs? It's not the way this works.
No, I listen, again, I'm with you now. I'm just a little hesitant on the idea of, oh, let's do the snore joke because we handed the ball to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
That's Christian freaking McCaffrey. Like,
it's not
okay.
Christian freaking McCaffrey
it
right
is.
Now.
Like,
it's Christian McCaffrey.
It's okay to hand him the ball.
It's Christian McCaffrey light right
okay
now.
It's okay to hand him the ball.
It
I'm
is.
Not, let's not
I'm not
go
saying
down that,
you don't play
okay.
him at all.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is
or even most of the time.
Play him most of the time.
Okay. All
but
right.
when you're looking at his effectiveness right now, he's not as effective and
hasn't been, yes.
And how would he be? A guy who didn't have camp and hasn't played in 9 months.
Although what's interesting about your point is that if what you wanted him to have was like a training camp and a couple of ramp-ups, well, now he has. Now he has.
Right.
And now we get to the game where a lot of us are saying, let's react and pull back on Christian. And in theory, this is when he should be ready to hit 100%.
I'm not saying pull back on Christian. I'm saying use him in a different way.
Okay.
I'm not saying you don't hand it to him. Of course you hand it to him. He's a great running back. But I'm also saying play two running backs, not the fullback. Play Mason and McCaffrey together. Put McCaffrey in the slot. And maybe you get him with a couple of quick hitters in the pass game, or you run a delay and you give it to Mason on a draw.
Yep.
Do something different than what you've done.
No, it's got to look. It's got to be great this weekend. You're gonna have to be great. You have to be great.
Money coming in on Green Bay.
I know.
Which up to 2.5.
I think that's a good sign. I love it when the money comes in on one team. Public doesn't know what they're doing.
They did last night.
Was the money coming in late on Houston?
Yeah, I think it opened at 7.
Okay.
Moved to 7.5. Okay. Not a dramatic move, but those of us in the new, that was an easy one last night. Those of us in the new. Back, Grandy.
Those of us with the almost 500 records really knew what was about to happen last night.
You know what's a tell about our button pusher back there? Is when I get a win, you don't hear the, "Hi, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Hey, Dibs, your pick stink." We're not playing those.
You don't get it, Dibs. It's a Niners day. Come on.
Yeah, plus.
Well, how about yesterday?
Hey, no. I'm going to give you the same line that Bob Melvin gave the Giants media all year long. Get to 500, and then we can have a talk. Until then,
oh, no, I'm not allowed to shush. It's like the only thing that I'm not allowed to do in this job.
No, you are.
And I
you
do
are.
Too much.
I mean, I'm
being
over
told.
Here. It's okay. let's go to Doc Pandy in a couple minutes. Let's go to Miles in Hayward. Hi, Miles. What are you doing?
How you guys doing? You know, I was listening to the conversation about Shanahan. I granted, Shanahan is a good offensive coordinator, but I don't think he's a great coach. I never have. I think he's a hell of an offensive coordinator. But what's the difference between an offensive coordinator and a head coach? What's the difference between a guy in Detroit and Shanahan? He's a better head coach. And Shanahan's a better offensive coordinator. He's not a head coach. You guys wouldn't believe in Shanahan. He's not a good head coach. He's a good offensive coordinator.
Miles. How do you explain the massive culture change that the San Francisco 49ers organization underwent upon his arrival? I'm gonna grant you your point. Okay, not a good head coach. So then explain to me what happened when he took over. That's exactly what I thought. Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time explaining that one because with all due respect, Miles, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. That your point has been wildly disproven for years. That's the stuff I can't stand. You don't. Please do not discredit achievement that has taken place over a long period of time in a sport because you're frustrated in the moment. Kyle Shanahan is literally the only good coach that the 49ers have had in well over a decade. And he came in and he changed a culture and he changed a roster. And he did it, as they say, brick by brick along with John Lynch. And they've built something that 49er fans now expect something from and travel the world to see. Please do not gloss over that. That's really, really hard to hear.
Well, he was pointing out that he feels like he's a really good offensive coordinator, but not a good head coach. And I do think that there are holes in his game as a head coach where, you know, maybe he needs somebody else to help him with some of these things.
Actually, the things you're asking him for him to get help with are actually play calling and their offensive coordinator things.
It's also like game management.
But the stuff I'm talking about is the actual head coach stuff. It's all the head coach stuff.
It's all the head coach
stuff. But the hard part is coming in and changing a culture.
Oh, and he's done that.
Exactly.
So now the culture's changed, and now you have to go out, and the process has been good. Now you need the results.
No question. But the culture has changed. The results have been there. The building, the roster, everything they did for 6 years. I'm not going to hear people acting like that doesn't exist.
It would exist.
That's really hard to do.
But you're making it seem like he's untouchable and he's perfect.
Of course not. No, I'm not making it seem like that because I've sat here and agreed with you on a number of adjustments that need to be made and said he's having a bad year. But I can't stand it when people come in and now say everything that's happened for the last 6 years sucks. It's the reason why so many national voices here are telling you, the 49er fan base, that you're spoiled.
For sure.
And that you don't know what you have. So that's all I'm saying. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.